You are listening to Glorious Morning, the breakfast show with a difference. Right here on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
Have you ever wondered where your tithe is going? All right, transparency in church finances is a bit like a window, right? A clear, clean, and letting in the light and helping you to see beyond the wall that's in front of you. But what happens when that window gets a bit foggy, a bit musty, a bit murky? Today we'll be diving into the nitty-gritties of church financial transparency and accountability, and we'll be seeing how churches can keep the books open and trust. Keep the trust strong right there. Of course, Pastor Msinkosi joins us now on the line. Muruti, good morning and welcome. Pastor Msinkosi, you're muted. There we go. Hi, Mfundis.
Good morning. I'm fine. How are you?
No, we're doing quite okay. Thank you so much. Glad to have you joining us. It's been a while.
It's been a while, but we thank God that time has been found today.
Amen, indeed. Hoping that we find you well, Pastor. How are you? How's the family?
No, the family is intact by His grace, not knowing on the other end, and our listeners.
No, this side we are fine. We haven't heard any ill report from the listeners as well, so we are trusting that they are also doing quite okay there. Fudisi, let's jump into the discussion, and thank you once again for accepting the invitation to come and share this touchy topic with us. Why is financial transparency important in maintaining trust between church leadership and the congregation?
All right. I am glad that we are looking at this particular topic from the perspective that is not really financially inclined by me. I mean, we are not being experts when it comes to financial matters. But the transparency aspect of finances in the church, between church leadership and the congregation, is very critical in that. It helps build trust. When you become transparent on how the resources for the church are being utilized, you are demonstrating a high level of stewardship. You as a leader, you are showing that you are responsible with God's resources.
Okay.
But also, when you look at it critically, if you are transparent with those resources entrusted in your hand, now we are not teaching tithe here, but let's be practical about it.
Okay.
It is God's money that God has elected or chosen who is to utilize that money. And if God has given us the opportunity, not the ability, we have the ability, but the opportunity to oversee His resources, then He is expecting us to use that resource judiciously. Yeah. And so when we become transparent, then we are preventing ourselves from mismanagement. You know, there is a term that is used in government resources, which they say embezzlement, which in my in my right mind, I always say stealing. If you are open, you are transparent about these resources, then you will prevent yourself from embezzling, from stealing what is for the church. And the last point probably that I'm going to move on this particular question is that leaders will become answerable to the congregation. So it will encourage accountability, and then it will create a culture of honesty and communication, fostering openness. Basically, That's the beauty of being transparent with the resources that are entrusted in the hands of the church and superseen by the church leaders. So the congregants are going to be very happy. The congregants are going to be very excited that we are not losing the monies that we are pushing forward. Remember, this is not about me. It's about God. But then I am here when God is not here. So what happens? If I mismanage God's money, then the members in the church, the congregants, will reach at a point where they'll say, enough is enough. I am not bringing anything further to the congregation. And who stands to lose out? It's the church.
Yeah, yeah. But Mfundisi Zanikithi, sometimes they say, no, it's not that we are being, we want to embezzle and do these big words. Maybe it's just that it's a confidential information. not everyone should know some of these hidden things. You know, finance, even in African homes, the children can't want to know what's happening with the money. They must just be grateful they have food on the table. Isn't that a good response?
Well, that excuse doesn't hold water.
Oh, okay.
But I'll say this, Derek. The resources that we use in the church are resources that are coming through from the people.
Yeah, that's true.
There is a difference when I am making money. Here is the thing. I have three children by God's grace now.
Amen.
But the two are grown up. One is almost 8 next month. The other one is 5. Mm. They love to ask questions. Why are you not buying this in preference to that?
Yeah.
So I tell them, I decide what to buy because I make the money. Not
yeah.
up to them.
Yeah.
But if they were giving me the money and they call the shots, there I have no option
to
be transparent to them. So the resources in the church are coming from the members. And so the members will have to have a clear direction on how we are using this money. And it's all in planning together. I don't know about other denominations, but I am an Adventist guy who has been in the Adventist church for some time now.
Okay.
And I will tell you that at the very beginning of the year, there is a direction that we give ourselves. And this time around, even local congregations are working with strategic plans and all that. All those things are put in place for people to see the direction we are taking. And if this be the direction we are taking, then we have to know how each and every coin is being utilized. A report is given. This is what we did. This is how we did it. And this is how the entire breakdown should be given to everyone to see that this is how we are going. It might not be the actual figures, but you know, I'm not trying to rush ahead of time, but you will know that when money is coming from this point A, going to point B, from point B, it will go to point C, from C to D, until we reach its very conclusive end. So the members have to know. And when they know, they are motivated to even do more.
That's so true. And I think we sometimes lack that, right? A foresight, Mfundisi, to say, actually, when people are part of this and they feel like they know exactly what's happening, they feel motivated to do more. Then maybe talk to us, Pastor. What is then the challenge that is facing churches in terms of being transparent? What are some of those common challenges that the churches face in becoming fully transparent with their finances? And maybe as you do that, also speak to us about what church members can then do in turn to request for more transparency in a courtesy manner, and not be looking like they're trying to accuse the leaders of doing some nefarious deed. Talk to us a bit about that.
I am privileged to be in a very, very small group of singers.
Okay.
They're not very small, but it's a small aspect of the congregation. And it is what we do each year. We are choosing leaders. In the aspect of treasury, we look for people that are financial experts. I gave a disclaimer when okay. I was starting because I am not a financial expert. But what we do is that we look for people that have a know-how. Here is why we are doing that now. In the past, we were choosing anyone because they are members and you put them in the position one, the affairs of the financial aspect of the group. And just to give a financial report was a hassle. And so we said, from amongst ourselves, who are closer to financial expertise? And ever since we've done that, it's 3 years in the running now. We have seen a bit of some difference.
Amen.
So the challenge, one of the common challenges that you'd find is that we have people that do not know anything about finances. They are not financial experts. They are the people we are putting in the office. But also, the aspect of fearing to be criticized or misunderstood. You are thinking, now the moment I am going in this direction, then I'll be criticized by the members and all those things. And then now, because you are afraid of that, then we find ourselves failing to be transparent. Because the moment you give a financial report, then people begin to ask, you know, money is critical. And when it comes to financial reports, every ear is attentive. And so the moment you open up, then you have a situation where people begin to ask, how about that? How about that? How about that? And then people are afraid of that. The challenge now is that you will not give a correct position or you shy away from that. But also, confidentiality things are concerns, like you said. There is an aspect where, for example, in the church, you'd want people to know Pastor Bright's contribution to towards tithe every month or every as and when he is capable. And then people now begin to make calculations and see how much did he put. So if that is 10%, then his salary is going to be how much.
So people
now begin to have those kind of fear not to give much information regarding that. But also, I think, like I indicated, for lack of expertise, financial issues really are complex. And because they are complex, it becomes a bit of a challenge for people to come out in the open and begin to give information, as it were. And so that becomes a challenge. And then failing to balance between being transparent and privacy also becomes another challenge that is somewhat a bit difficult to really go into, because you don't know how much you should give out and how much should be retained. And so in the process, you are giving a situation that tells you, I think it's not necessary to go because I might just be disclosing too much information. So you ask how the congregation would respectfully, courteously ask for more transparency. Here is my... This might not be written anywhere in the book, but I would love to suggest this way.
Okay.
Schedule a meeting with the church leaders. So as a member, tell them as members collectively and say, every month, when I was joining the Adventist church as a young man in Livingston, we were getting financial updates from the treasury nearly every month. We might not have board meetings every month, business meetings for all these other issues, disciplinary planning and whatnot. But on a monthly basis, there was a financial report. And I'll tell you something that almost put me in an awkward position. I lost my mother when I was just in grade 11, the very first term. And I had to ask money from the church to pay for my school fees that particular term that was following. And I thought at that time I would just ask for money and then somebody from the church would just respond and give me the money. You know what they did? They called for a meeting. He is asking for money. And then the elders, the board met, and then later on, a business meeting sat to discuss about my request. Appreciate that then, but now I do, because I realize the owners of the money have to know where the money is going.
So
a meeting has to be called, so they have to demand about that. But also, asking. There is a Tonga proverb. My wife is Tonga.
Mm-hmm.
They say, "Ha buha tagoriwoa." Whoever is asking will not be killed by mushroom. You know, mushroom has a tendency of, we have some poisonous mushrooms,
yes,
and some mushroom is good. But when you inquire, how, what kind of mushroom is this?
Mm.
You will not be killed by mushroom. And so let us ask questions as church members. How about this? How did this go? How did that happen? There are principles in the Bible, if I'm quoting the Bible correctly, from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 20 to 21.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's a principle. This is how we are going to live. But then also, church members who have the financial knowledge should offer their help to those tasked with the responsibility to run the affairs of the church's finances, but also seek support from other congregants or denominational leaders who have the knowledge of how it's supposed to go. I think basically this is what I would give in response to the two questions that you gave me.
And I think that's quite profound, Mfundisi, and thank you so much for that. Especially the way you began this idea of putting people with the expertise, because sometimes the church thinks everything is spiritual. Now, to a certain degree, that is correct. But I remember there was some argument, especially as you get to these administrative offices, be it at district level or a local conference or union and so forth, where you get treasurers and CFOs who are pastors. And you're like, okay, you've got a theology degree, I agree, but why are you managing finances of the church? What do you know? It's not Proverbs 25 here. You know, we need to know, where is the money and how is the money being managed and so forth. And I don't know, Mfundisi.
I was just trying, Derek, to not to cut you short, but I was trying to be humble enough not to even say that.
I heard you.
Let's stick in our lane.
Eish.
I am a pastor. Can I attend to the spiritual matters of the church?
Yes, yes.
Then let a financially enlightened individual attend to the financial matters of the church. Let somebody who is clerical attend to the clerical aspect of the church. And then there are these other positions that we can fill in that don't require really expertise.
You
don't have the training for deacons. You are going to pick anyone that looks humble enough to occupy that position. And then they are going to execute the duty very well. I had a problem. I'm digressing here, but hear my thought.
Okay.
Where they pick an elderly man who was part of JMV back in the days to come and be a youth leader in this generation.
Sure.
I said, what are we doing? We can't move like this, because this one is JMV. He doesn't understand Adventist youth ministry as it is now. They'll keep dragging us in the past. So what I'm trying to say is, put people that have capacity, if not even just a bit of interest, it will help us move forward.
And I'm proud to say that we see a lot of those conferences and so forth are moving in that direction, Mfundisi, where in these more technical positions, your clericals, your treasury, where they are finding people who are experts are coming into those positions now. And I think we want to just appreciate that kind of a move. Indeed. Mfundisi, thank you so much for your chat to us. I don't know what your final words would be, just to wrap up this day, speaking to us about this idea of transparency, this idea of openness, this idea of accountability regarding finances.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I think the last thing that I would love to hear, conclude with, is that embracing transparency and accountability, churches can maintain trust, ensure responsible stewardship, as well as honor God's resources. If we are going to be transparent about our finances, then it is going to help us move in a direction that everyone in the end is going to appreciate. So financial matters are critical. We don't like them, but they are. So let us just be open about them and we will save a lot of sins.
Oh, yes. They even
now,
say that.
Now, temptation because we are not being transparent
certainly
about how their resources are being used. It's different now because people are highly informed than it was back in the days. I think we can do better now, especially that people are interested, especially in the figures.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I mean, in Mfundisi, any relationship, right, it's usually the financial matters that can make or break it. So I really appreciate where you're coming from. Thank you so much, Pastor. Until we chat again tomorrow, may God bless you and keep you.
Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day and good morning to the listener.
Amen.
Adventist World Radio, SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.